old cars, if you remember, before fuel injection, they had carburetors. And the carburetor jets are ports that control the flow of fuel, the flow of air coming in the top, fuel coming in the side. And if they were turned a half turn off, it would affect how the engine ran. And so you had to get that mixture, and those jets, the ports, just right. Just the right balance, and that's the way this is a Christian life, and that's how that's the kind of medical condition where we get off. And Christian life, what we have to do to adjust that. I wish we had a room here that cost $100 million and all adjustments we can put in your name and your power plant. I couldn't adjust these switches for this specific person and what they need here, what they need there. I can't do that. God gives us that freedom within our will to make those decisions and choices as we reflect with God. And so we have the responsibility now to do that. Children, as you're growing up, you need to learn to do that yourself more and more and more. And it's not an easy thing. You know, the parents, they are leading and guiding you in the way. They are helping you so that, unknown to you, you're going to have a lot of these gauges and switches flipped and dialed in just the right way, or close to the right way. And as you get older, you'll have to do some adjusting yourself, but that's a great blessing that exists in you. If you haven't had that, you know the challenge it is, and how, again, unknown to the outer world. But God has given us a family, the body of Christ, to help each other. And for centuries, mum's the word. You don't ever talk to somebody else about what it's up to us before God. That is totally not what the scriptures say. We are called to help each other. And part of that is James 5, to confess our sins to one another, the growth and the struggle we wrestle in different areas. And we should be inviting friends, husbands, spouses, children, parents into our lives to say, what do you see in my heart that needs to be adjusted? And that just catapults us into rapid growth in the kingdom and being the kind of people we want to be. We don't want to be messed up. We don't want to be jerks. We don't want to be fools. We want to be the way we reflect others. Let's go into the scriptures. Don't turn there to this one because there's a whole bunch of slight passages here that I'm just going to do. Proverbs 14, I won't say verses. Proverbs 14, a quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes hatred. Proverbs 14, again, whoever is patient has great understanding, the one who is quick-tempered displays calmness. Yet, this verse, heart at peace gives life to the body. But thank you, God's love. 15 verses. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms the quarrel. Boy, I've seen that. Situation, and you're just melting on the situation, and quiet it down. And then the 16th of Proverbs, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he rules his spirit than somebody who captured a city. Proverbs 19, it says here, good sense makes But people could do that. That was the biggest, that was the first extent of an expression of, I don't like what you did. But you do something like that, I think there's low rage now. It's very common. Even women are getting expressing that. And cause another subject, yet it's related. Something is wrong regarding that. Thank you. Howard Tunnel comes up there several times to talk to people inside. And one of the teachers got up and said, you know, one of the problems we have in our society is that so many who are unbelievers don't believe these people can change them. So that sounds crazy, but if you don't, you better believe that people can change. And that's why you're here, right? God's given you a changed heart, or raised you so that you can have the heart of Christ. And that parents come to the covenants, and they put you in the way, but the temptations go the other way. So you can change, son, you can change the dream, and you can come back, and you can be what you're supposed to be. That's the beauty of Christ. No matter how far off we are on the road, we can come back and change. That's a big part of it. Beautiful thing that we are. So, after you've cooled off, you think things are about things you've said, things you've done, you're angry. Don't you feel like a fool? Because you are a fool. And Proverbs is simply saying, very deeply, don't be a fool, you fool. Do what's right, do what's good. But when you get angry, it distorts your view of things, the situation itself, yourself, the world, others, so that you make stupid decisions.
What?
valve, a relief, a relief valve that if something happens inside and gets too hot, that's the way we are, but that's the way we are. You just gotta let the relief, and my mouth, and my anger, and my yelling, and my fist, and my legs kicking, there's a relief valve. The problem is, now, you're gonna be developing an addiction to doing that again, and again, and again, but more and more now, the world is always 2,000 to 3,500 years behind the scriptures. More and more now, people are starting to see what Proverbs was saying was right, and that is, the more you are angry, the more you need to be angry, and the more you will be angry, and you'll lose control. That's why Proverbs is warning us against this. This is the most destructive power that anger has. It's the ability to disintegrate life around us. It's a pathway that's wrong. It's a pathway on the same path where if you would go another person was up, you would see corpses playing around. It's a death. But that's not all. We need to see that the Bible doesn't tell us anger doesn't have dangerous power. We're doing it now three times. The Bible says it's not a good thing. Because, according to the Bible, anger is basically a good thing. So let me say, anger is basically whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who captures the city. The idea, the ideal in the Bible is not, is the ideal in the Bible no anger? No. Is it blowing up anger? It's not that. No, it's something else. And it is righteous anger or slow. See, it's actually a sin never to get angry. It's a sin to blow up in your anger. According to the Bible, the idea is slow. Say what? It's a sin to never get angry? I thought good people never get angry. What's the deal here? The Bible says, slow to anger is vengeance. We want moms and dads and children and aunts and uncles and neighbors and leaders in our country to be slow to anger. But there perhaps have to be angry. Five words. Be angry, but don't sin. It's in the imperative, folks. The imperative in the language is languages is a command. English as well as any other language. The imperative is a command. You are called, it's a command in the Greek. You are called to be angry. You better be angry at certain things that are unjust. He doesn't say, well, some people aren't going to be angry. not angry when there is a cause also sins. Unreasonable patience is the hot of things. This no, not no anger, not slow of anger, not explosive anger, but slow. Because no anger, slow of anger, they're all the same. Slow to anger is the one. 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 Back it up. One stops with five. Lights it. Good to have slow anger. Because that's the way God is. That's the way God is. The slow anger is the quality of God. The Bible says again and again that God is slow anger. In fact, when Moses meets God on Mount Sinai, Exodus 34, what does Moses say to God? What does Moses say to God on Mount Sinai? Show me, your glory. Show me your glory. Tell me the essence of who you are. God says, God is jealous. I don't want to know those men who are supposed to love us. Know that anyone who loves someone else who wants you. But if you have a God who never gets angry, you can't have a God of love. Because if you never get angry about anything, you don't love anything. Because, here goes, if you love and you see what you love is being threatened, you get angry. Is that a righteous anger? If what you love is good, yes. If you're injured, you're just not loving. It's that black and white. Becky Pippert says it. This is what she says. Someone we love ravaged by unwise actions.